conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thanks so much for tuning into the program today. I'm Neil Stavem. Ted Ross at the controls. Got Joe on the phones today. And Ted, very special guest in the studio.
Yeah, I know her.
Really?
I'm excited.
Sure. Someone who is comfortable behind a microphone. And as well as writing and speaking, and we're just honored to have Susie Larson in the studio. Welcome, Susie.
Honored to be here, and I've learned everything I know from you, Neil, so super glad to be here.
So we'll see how it goes here. We may change, shift gears here some way, part way through. We're going to talk today. I mean, we're still in the month of January, and I think, all of us, we said in the new year, say, there's some things that I want to maybe do better, more effectively, more intentionally as we lean into the new year. And a lot of people kind of get re-engaged in a Bible reading plan or program, maybe some other spiritual disciplines. And today we're going to talk about prayer. And Susie has written a wonderful book, came out a year or so ago, called Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. And the reality is that the all-powerful God of the universe loves us and wants to talk to us and with us, but it doesn't always seem that way, I think, for many of us. So why is prayer hard at times? We're going to talk about it and get some encouragement, I think, during the hour ahead. So anyway, looking forward to it. Susie, of course, author of, is it like 15 books or so?
Something like that, yep.
There's more than a handful.
Yeah.
You need two hands. and, of course, she speaks around the nation, and you hear each afternoon here on Live the Promise on Faith Radio, and we're honored to have her in the studio. So talking about prayer, talking about, how we pray more persistently, humbly, boldly. But you talk about, you start the subject by referring to your evolving prayer life. And I was just thinking, say more about that just by way of introduction. How did it evolve, and maybe in what ways did it stay the same?
I was raised with a wonderful family in a denomination, though, where Jesus seemed distant. I knew God was real. And so as a young girl, I was praying constant prayers for protection. I had some traumatic events at the hands of some teenage boys that truly showed me that there are evil people in the world. So just remembering as a little girl, pulling my bed sheet up to my chin and just begging God to protect me. Well, then I found Christ in about eighth grade. And then as a young mom, just when you kind of bump up against life as a young wife and mom, issues surface like insecurity, identity, comparison, where your place is. I mean, it's like high school all over again, but in a new level, And so then my prayer life really evolved to just asking God, who am I and where do I fit? Am I always on the outside of the circle? Do I matter to you? Do you see me? And because identity is a very big issue, and it is especially so I think it feels so for young moms and wives, but everybody deals with it. But I think we feel it when we're in those particular seasons of life. Well, our lives turned upside down. We're upended by health crises, significantly so, with two of my three sons had significant respiratory issues. They had a home health care nurse assigned to them who came to our house every month, and they run the nebulizers and all of that. And then I had Lyme disease, of course, many of you know that, and which just turned my health upside down. And it suddenly felt like I had a target on my back, and the enemy had access to me, and I didn't know why. And anxiety and fear were winning the day. And I remember one day the Lord whispered in my heart, because I was crying out, going, I can't do this. This will swallow me whole. But it was real stuff. I mean, our medical debt was such that we were on the verge of losing our home. And my health was such that I didn't know if I was going to live to see my kids grow up. And so these were real battles. And I remember the Lord whispering to my heart, are you a believer just because you've secured your eternity? Or do you actually believe this stuff? Do you believe my promises are true? And worry and fear and faith are opposing forces. You have to turn your back on one to behold the other. So what are you going to choose today? And so I had all these legitimate reasons to fear. They were real. They were real. But it was like, truer still are God's promises. And I do have a choice. Nobody can choose my perspective. So I thought, even though these things feel true, God, you say your word is true. So I literally turned my back on my fears and said, I need to see you fight for me. I need to shift my weight onto these promises to see if they'll hold. And they did. They held. And after a while, as his promises proved true, and he proved himself true, the Bible says all of God's promises are backed by the honor of his name. I mean, he's got character attached to his promises. Suddenly when I learned as a young woman that his promises were true, that his character was unsearchable yet altogether consistent, I started to get an appetite for others. I wanted to see others set free. And so my prayers became bigger. They weren't just about me. They were about others who suffered and maybe the ways that I was struggling. And now I've seen too much to go back. I have an appetite for freedom. And I just think there's no better time, no better way to use your time than to have an ongoing conversation with the Almighty God.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, too, just maybe on what that looks like on a practical day-to-day level. But I'm interested in thinking that there's probably people that are going, you know, I'm asking those same questions, whether it's identity or, you know, about answers, but I'm not hearing any answers. I mean, I wonder if that just adds maybe to the fear and discouragement, if you're not really hearing God's voice in some way.
I really do. You know, I remember my middle son, our kids were little. My middle one was our strong-willed child, and he was just such an out-of-the-box thinker. And I want to say he was probably 5 years old when he gave us his birthday party list, and it was mostly five-year-olds, one teenager, and one 35-year-old man who was a friend of ours. But he's like, what? He's my friend, you know? Mm-hmm. And he could see nothing weird about that. And we're like, here's the invitation. It had little cartoons on it. And he came and he sat around the table with a party hat on. And I just remember just thinking that was so adorable because Luke had no self-awareness about that. And I remember at that same time I was dealing with these insecurity issues. And I realized I have to take the leap of faith to believe that I'm someone whose party God wants to attend. Do you know what I'm saying? And for me, there were just faith steps I needed to say. I'm going to walk in this and talk in this like it's true until it feels true, because it didn't feel true to me at all. I had way more stacking up reasons I should be insecure. And I just would say to that person listening today that it's not that you loved him, it's that he loved you. It's not about how high you can jump, it's that he stooped down to make you great. And when we focus more on our badness than we do on his goodness, we'll never get there. But if we can step back and marvel that love came down to rescue me, and that's going to be at the forefront of my mind until it undoes me and to the point where it gets in my heart. And you can't get there, I don't think, without renewing your mind, retraining your thoughts to say, more rests on his shoulders than on mine. He says he loves me whether it feels true or not. So I'm going to live, act, talk, breathe, pray like it's true. And eventually it will feel true. But you have to almost take sides against yourself to say, I'm taking a leap of faith to trust that what he says about my identity is actually true.
So does the prayer begin? I mean, if you really pray believing that God loves you, then your prayers are going to sound different. Or do they start in a different way? Or just say more about
that. Well, that's a great question. And I probably have shared this on your show before, so forgive me if this is a repeat for others who've heard it before. But, you know, it was one of those crisis identity prayers for me where I was done with it. I'm like, God, you have got to help me. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm journaling. I'm reading. As a young mom with Lyme disease and some memory issues around this disease, I can't do more than what I've been doing to try to apprehend this. Yet I get up from this place. I'm the same insecure person. I'm afraid of my shadow. I walk in a room, I'm pretty sure people are talking about me. I can't even stand how insecure I am. Where is the victory? And that was one of those days where the Lord whispered to my heart, I get that you love me, but you don't seem to know that I love you. So until I tell you different, every time you want to say, I love you, Lord, I want you to turn it around to say, you love me, Lord. And so I did. I mean, I would yell at my kids and feel bad, and I'd hear the little nudge and whisper in my heart, say it now. I'm like, you love me, Lord. You love me, Lord. I would do something, you know, great, like not burn the dinner. Yeah. And I would hear the whisper, say it now. You love me, Lord. And as I started to just meditate more on his love for me, and I had to find biblical basis for it, because I thought, is this positive thinking? Is this self-actualization? But the Lord brought me to those verses. It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. While our stuff was in full motion, he made a plan to redeem us. He loved us first. And so if the focus is there, in fact, in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 1, it says, to know this love is to be filled with the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. We have to really occupy our thoughts, especially if you're insecure. Occupy your thoughts with God's love. So what that would look like in prayer is, rather than praying from underneath your circumstances, because I think when you don't know who you are, your prayers are begging, pleading, constantly underneath. But when you know who you are, you're not dictating to God. You're not telling him what he's going to do. And people do that, but I feel like you have no fear of God if you're talking to him that way. But praying from above your circumstances to me looks like this. God, I know that your word is true. I know that you love me. I'm feeling insecure now, but your word says this, and I'm going to believe it. But Lord, I pray that you would show me a sign of your favor. David prayed for that. You know, help me walk in this. Help me feel it. Help me know it. Even give me the gift of faith to believe it's true. But for me to pray above my circumstances is to remind him, as I'm reminding my soul, about what's true about him. It does something in your heart, I'm telling you. And as your ears hear your mouth say, I know you're good. I know your promises are true. You will come through for me, God. It's like you're reminding your soul. I just think that might be a good place to start.
Mm. That's so good. I mean, not surprising, but it is really good. Susie Larson, my guest today, as we talk your powerful prayers, reaching the heart of God with a bold and humble faith. We're going to talk about, you know, balancing those two, bold and humble. What does that look like? We'll get to that in the next few minutes. By the way, we've got a half a dozen of Susie's books to give away, Your Powerful Prayers, and I know it'd be just a wonderful resource for you to start the new year and just to get a clear vision of the God who loves you. And I just invite you to give us a call and sign up for that. We'll do the drawing here at the top of the hour. You can sign up for a copy of Your Powerful Prayers at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And by the way, if you go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and click on the Connecting Faith show page, you'll see an opportunity to sign up for Aspire Women's Conference, which is coming up for those in the Twin Cities areas, coming up Saturday, April 28th. Susie will be one of the keynote speakers for that. There's great music, there's comedy, there's wonderful worship and wonderful stories, a lot of laughing, learning, and music. And so you can sign up for that. We're going to give away a pair of VIP tickets for that event. And you can sign up online. So if you go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, that's open, and you can sign up there. And if you want to be in the drawing for the book, the books, I should say, I've got, again, a half a dozen to give away. It's 877-93-FAITH. All right, take a break. Back with more in a moment. Begins to change, strongholds break when we start to pray. Good word.
Song. Yeah. Wow, yeah. Love that.
You know, that's probably one of the best parts of the show.
Yeah.
Connecting Faith.
It's
Ted picking the bumpers. So, all right, we're celebrating and reflecting on prayer, reaching the heart of God with a bold and humble faith. That's the subtitle of Susie Larson's book, Your Powerful Prayers. Susie, of course, the host of Live the Promise, heard each afternoon here on Faith Radio and speaks nationally and has written a dozen or more books, and we're honored to have her with us today just to talk about prayer here early on the new year. And, you know, probably everybody listening, and myself included, say, you know, we're doing the regular Bible study, you know, going to church, but you don't pray consistently like we want. So what are we missing?
We're missing momentum. You know, my mentor calls it the art of steady application is what allows for momentum. And Scripture talks about in him you've been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge. And that word enriched translates plousios, where we get our word plutocrat. And Rick Renner in his devotional talks about a plutocrat is somebody who's so wealthy that his handlers can never give him a definitive number of what he's worth, because his interest is accruing at such a rate they can never go, okay, there, that's how much you're worth. And that, so when you look at that, how that passage translates, as we walk in him consistently, we're rich and made rich, rich and made rich. There's an accumulative spiritual wealth that happens. And what I've noticed, and I don't know about you, Neil, but I would say this is true across the board, not just for prayer, but people who are in again, out again, who church hop, maybe because they're consumers, you know, I mean, where they're like, I don't like this anymore. Somebody's maybe confronting me. Kevin and I used to be youth leaders for a number of years, and the parents whose kids would get there once a month were always the parents who said, our kids don't feel connected here. And we would always be like, get them here, right? And I want to just say to you, if you're consistently inconsistent prayer, it doesn't mean God loves you less. He doesn't. He loves you. Nothing can separate you from his love. Doesn't make you less saved. You're saved by grace. But I would venture to say it makes you less influential. because so much happens when we pray. Scripture says it accomplishes great and powerful things. If you're a hit and miss prayer, I would have to just say, and I may step on toes here, but you don't know who you are and you've forgotten who he is. Because if you really knew who you were, and if you really knew who he was, you would see it as the best use of your time. And as you start to get into a momentum, it's like even an exercise, momentum, art of steady application. You start to see a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of answers, and you're changed in the process. Any intercessor you will ever meet will tell you, I know too much now. There's no going back for me. This is the best use of my time. In fact, I remember one of my mentor came into my house one day, and she was praying for a persecuted Christian who was in prison. And she goes, nothing can stop my prayers from getting into his cell because I'm an heir of God. So I'm going to pray until I know he's been encouraged in that prison cell. There's just something so powerful about it. So I think you miss out on potency, answers, a harvest, and even life change if you're hit and miss. It's like you're not convinced it works. It kind of makes you double-minded a little bit. I'm saying it works because the Bible says it does.
Well, you need momentum, certainly, to persevere.
You do.
I know you address that, and that's maybe where we run into that wall, maybe more often than we like. And so how do we persevere?
Well, perseverance in Scripture talks, it's very much often equated with maturity. We cannot mature without perseverance. So we'll be given opportunities to persevere, which we don't like. Mm-hmm. And I shudder to think, Neil, of the number of times we've given up before. Right around the bend is the breakthrough. Right around the bend is the answer. But we get offended with God. And that's where we need to strengthen ourselves in God. That's where we need to enlist the community of people to say, my arms are tired. Hold them up for me. But to care enough about your call, to care enough about the things that are on your heart that compel you to pray, to say, I'm not giving up. I'm going to persevere. That doesn't mean you have a bullseye outcome where you dictate to God. I think we lose heart, and I don't think we'll persevere well when we've determined what the answer is supposed to look like. Do you know what I'm saying? But if we can kind of open that up to say there's a mystery to following God, there needs to be an expectancy in my heart, but I'm not giving up because one way or another, something's going to break through here.
I think, you know, that's maybe a challenge that some of us have. It's the, you know, proving God's promises, but yet not misusing the power.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we balance that out? Is there, you know, insight on that?
Well, you and I, you know, you always give me your best guess. So that's always so nice of you. I appreciate that. But you'll have a guest on and you'll come to me and go, you might want to talk to them. And I'm like, I'm totally going to talk with them. And one of those would be Sky Jathani. And it's been a while since we've both had him on. But he's written a great book called With. And he talks about these different approaches where some people who live life above God, where they're dictating to God. Again, I feel like you lack a fear of God if you think you can tell him what to do. He's not a means to an end. He's the beginning and the end. We don't dictate to him. He dictates to us, right? But there's another posture of life under God where you're bracing your head and you're waiting for the almighty fist to come down, like he's constantly irritated and tired of you. And you just better not mess up or that fist is coming down, like he's exasperated. That's why I always say he's not rolling his eyes or breathing a heavy sigh over you. He's not. He's in a good mood and he loves you. And as one of my guests said the other day, he's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And we will never know who we are until we understand that he's a happy-hearted God. I mean, it really is. So really, I'd say the way to not misuse the power is that to see us, as Sky Jathani says, is life with God. He's an intimate God. I mean, there's a passage in Psalm that says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counted the stars in the sky and calls them each by name. I love the juxtaposition of that because he's a star-breathing, galaxy-making God, and he knows intimately about the hurts in your heart that maybe nobody else sees. And that is why we persevere. That's why we remember who it is we're talking to, that we approach the throne of God with a fear and trembling and a holy confidence. You know, that's when, if you look at Jesus in the Gospels, I would say the two things that grabbed him were humility and boldness. I think it's an irresistible recipe to God, and he invites us into his presence, and we can be assured of his glad welcome. I think that's audacious. It's amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess we probably, we all fall short on both ends of that continuum, right? Some days humility is a long way away, and maybe other days boldness is missing from our life as well. We need them both.
We do, totally do. And my son Luke said something to me the other day that was so fascinating. When he was little, he had respiratory issues, and significantly so, where they had to give him prednisone over and over again. And they said, this will stunt his growth and may give him chronic fatigue, but he needs to breathe. And just for the record, he's got a size 14 foot. So he's mostly doing okay in the size way. But he had chronic fatigue for a while. And because of just what it did to his body, he craved sugar and things like that. And he gained some weight. And he saw Dr. Troy, who I have on my show, and changed his diet and started to get his energy back. And he said, Mom, I embraced a passive optimism for so long, just going, things will get better, and I'll just endure, thinking there was something noble about it. But he said, nothing changed, and my impact in the world was just dismal because I was tired all the time. So there was nothing noble about just surrendering to his circumstances, right? But once he got mad about feeling bad and just thought, I'm going after this thing, he started to get his energy back. And he said, you know, there are some things we have to fight for. And that's what I always say, Neil. You have to contend for some of the promises of God. He's offered them to us, but the enemy is after you to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you willing to apprehend and contend for the promises of God? When you start to see that he means what he says and he will do what he does, you will get up. You will go after it, you know?
We're going to talk more about, you know, how do we take that fight on to the next level as we talk your powerful prayers, reaching the heart of God with a bold and humble faith. Susie Larson's my guest today. Got just a couple minutes, and I don't recall if you talk a lot about it in the book, but just maybe by way of practical tips, in terms of, you know, if we're trying to get in shape, exercise, you got to do it consistently. Yeah. How about for prayer? Do you have a set time and place, a routine you follow?
So. You know, I think there is something really great about a routine, and I do, and I have for years as far as my morning time with the Lord. And what has happened there is we are seeing such fruit come out of that place that is an ironclad agreement. And I used to even tell my kids when they're little, unless you're hemorrhaging, mommy's going to be praying right now, you know, because I just had to guard and protect that, and it became a lifeline. But what it's done is evolved into something where I'm talking with him throughout the day. But one caveat before we go to break that you have to be so careful is we are such creatures of habit that if you set your routine, which is important, you start to go to autopilot, cruise control. And I'm just saying that if you start to, even we do this at church, we're singing the worship songs and you're singing the songs, but you're going through the laundry or grocery list in your heart. I have to just say, when you go through the motions, you disengage your heart. And when you disengage your heart, you disengage your faith. And when you disengage your faith, nothing happens in the spiritual atmosphere. Just think about that. It's a heavy statement. But when you re-engage your heart in the songs you're singing, in the words you're praying, and the stuff you're saying to somebody who needs encouragement, something changes in the atmosphere because we are people of faith who are loved by God and filled with the Spirit. So it's extremely important. Have a routine, but don't let that routine make you go on autopilot. Keep your heart engaged. Keep it fresh.
All right, so we're going to keep it fresh for the next half hour. By the way, you're welcome to join us. If you have a question or a comment, I'd like to just say thanks to Susie for how she's encouraged you even today. We're talking your powerful prayers, reaching the heart of God with a bold and humble faith. We've got 6 copies of the book to give away. You can sign up for that right now with a phone call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And sign up for one of the copies of your powerful prayers. Also, on our website, for those in the Twin Cities area or willing to travel, Susie will be speaking this April at the Aspire Women's Conference. And we've got a sign-up sheet on our website, the Connecting Faith Show page at myfaithradio.com. You can sign up for a pair of VIP tickets to that. So check that out online, myfaithradio.com. Go to Connecting Faith. And stay tuned for more with Susie Larson on your powerful prayers. Both humility and boldness, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To pray that prayer, Lord, thy will be done. Quote from Susie Larson's book, Your Powerful Prayers. Prayer is ultimately about becoming who we were always meant to be in Christ. It's about ongoing intimate dialogue with the one who put the stars in their place. He is the King. He's returning as the King. He's placed us on earth for a very distinct purpose, and our calling requires a listening ear and a humble heart. And we're talking your powerful prayers, how to reach the heart of God with a bold and humble faith. And Susie, I want to talk about you. You quote the Warren Wiersbe, I know, who is...
Who's my best friend.
He is just a dear man of God. And I want to talk about just some of the challenges, you know, to be able to pray, thy will be done. Wiersbe says there are three responses to trouble: endure, escape, or enlist. How do we enlist our trouble? And talk about how prayer is key to that.
Well, you know, first of all, endure is sort of hunker down, cover your head, and you can't last. It's not a sustainable way to live, you know. And escape, numb out. And I think that's a widely used option by a lot of Christians, numb out on your drug of choice, whatever that is. But enlist is a way where we engage our hearts in the midst of heartbreaking circumstances. And the first one that comes to my mind that actually isn't in this book, because as soon as I hit send on this book, as you know, my health took a pretty bad turn. So it'll be in the next book, but it's I get choked up thinking about it. But there was a point where my health got so bad in the last couple of years that it was bringing up old symptoms and new symptoms. So it brought up with it old fears and new fears that something worse is coming. And the fear was as traumatic to me as the symptoms were. And I have a key intercessor who just lives in her prayer closet pretty much. And she said, Susie, she said, you have to die to that fear. And I'm like, I don't think I can. And she said, the devil can't stir up a corpse. And he's going to, as long as you keep trying to save your life, he's going to threaten to take it from you. And she said, you have to die. And you have to dare to pray that prayer. My God will come through for me. But even if he doesn't, you know, she said, God doesn't deal with conditions. And you're saying, I can't make it if he doesn't come through for me. If I have to have a debilitating disease, I won't make it. She says, that's a condition. And you've walked with him long enough to know you can't do that. And you need a friend like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and so, Neil, I'm a visual person. God often speaks to me in word pictures. But I just got the picture of me crawling up on the altar. And I mean, it was so hard for me. I curled up in a ball and I'm like, I hate this fear. I hate what I'm even about to say because I'm so scared of what you're going to do with it. But God, I surrender. I surrender this fear. If you decide that I end up living with my worst case fear, then so be it. But I want you. I want your purpose and promise in my life on your terms, not mine. It was really... Anyway, I had this picture of me just curled up in a ball, and I'm just like, here I am. And I instantly got a picture of Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia, this big lion with a flowing mane, and one big paw he puts on the altar, and then the other paw, and I'm like in between his paws, and he leans over me and just roars out to the atmosphere as if to serve everybody else notice, she's mine, don't you come near her. And what he whispered to me at that point is, you feel fragile and vulnerable, you're only one of those, you're fragile, you're not vulnerable. And that was a game changer for me, because even when we feel fragile, you know, we enlist, we engage with him, there's something that activates. So, you know what I'm saying? When we come to him on his terms and we say, you get all of me, and he says, you know what, you get all my promises, and we're in this together, something died that needed to die, and something lived and rose to life in me that needed to, and I'm not the same after that exchange with God.
Is that the point where we pray from victory?
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, because I think, you know, a lot of us say, yeah, I can't see myself getting to that point. I mean, is victory the mountaintop, or is victory in the bottom of the valley?
Mm-hmm.
Where is victory?
That's a fantastic question. And again, forgive me if you've heard me say this before, but these are things I return to that help me so much. But to me, it's the difference between surrendering to your circumstances and surrendering to God in your circumstances. And in Psalms, it talks about the Israelites. It says they refused to believe the promise of God over their lives. So they stayed in their tents and grumbled and refused to obey the Lord. So they refused to believe there was a promise written over their lives. So first of all, they're like, no, I'm not believing it. And then they stayed in their circumstances and grumbled and then wouldn't obey him. That's surrendering to your circumstances. To me, surrendering to God in your circumstances is praying from victory, because in that place you're going, you know what, I don't like this season. I may even hate this season of life, but my eye is on the prize. I walk through the valley of the shadow. I don't live here. I don't camp here. I'm not going to die here. I walk through the valley, but I'm going to surrender to you in this, because you allowed it for a reason. So what in me, God, needed this? What in me are you getting at in me? But this thing doesn't define me. This is not going to hold me captive. I will be fruitful here, and I'll keep my eyes on you, and one day you'll come for me. And to me, that is audacious faith, and that is an heir praying from victory. And I just want you to know, faith is irresistible to God. He moves on our faith. And when you are in the fire, and you surrender to him in your circumstances, it is more precious to him than gold. And I would submit to say that this there's reward for that in this life and the life to come because faith is so important to God.
Just think about, you know, how little words make such a big difference. Surrendering to circumstances or surrendering to God in your circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, maybe you don't get anything else today. You got to in and to. Remember, it's surrendering surrendering to God in your circumstances, not to your circumstances. But I'm thinking there's people that are listening now going, you know, that sounds like me trying. I mean, that I just don't know if I can get there. You know, and maybe it's like, you know, working out. It's three steps forward, two steps back, you know, or you're making progress, but then, you know, you're suddenly in the cheesecake, you know. And so how do you, I think we need to talk more about, is there a point where you sort of get over that, the barrier maybe, and move into another level, step up?
I think you do without even realizing it. You know, that's why his mercies are new every morning, and that's because we need them, right? And Chip Ingram was on my show a while back, and he said when people would ask him, you know, how can I'm bored of my faith, or I've stuck, or I've hit a rut, and how can I experience a personal revival? And he says, I always point him back to Romans 12 and say, there's something you're white-knuckling. Usually you get bored, you get stuck, because you're hanging on too tight to something you need to surrender. And I just think personal revival does come with personal surrender to God. And if you're in that place where you feel like, I can't get there, I can't get up over the hump, nobody takes a mountain all at once. We take it one step at a time. But the thing is, his momentum is in your favor as you submit to God, right? His momentum is in your favor as you engage your faith, and it's one step in front of the other, and when that enemy knocks you down, you just get back up again, because in due time, if you don't grow weary, you will reap a harvest. And the thing is, this isn't just about you. The harvest is souls. The harvest is fruit. The harvest is people watching you and being encouraged by you. I mean, I'm thinking of Paul in prison. Here he's in prison, and he's praying and living from victory in that place, to the degree that other Christians were looking at his situation and they were encouraged in their faith. The Bible says in Philippians that the whole purpose of the kingdom purpose moved forward because of Paul's experience in prison. And thirdly, some were jealous of Paul. So think about this. He's in prison, but he's stewarding it in such a way that excited the jealousies of others. And I would just say to you, if you're in that place, that just proves there's no place you can't be fruitful, first of all. But as you steward the power, the promises of God, if you remember who you are in circumstances that tell you an opposite message, you will have a power in your life. People are watching you, and they're going to be encouraged by it. Your faith in your hard times moves the bigger story forward. You just must know you're part of a bigger story. And third, you're still going to have people jealous of you. You can't catch a break. there are jealous people who are going to be jealous. If you're stewarding a hard time with faith and grace, some will find a reason to find fault, but it's on them. But I'm just saying, victory is to be won in those places, and you will come through it. I always say your trial will pay you back in the end if you steward it with faith. You will have spoils in your hand when you come through that battle. Every single one of those will pay you back. The only reason God brought you through it is to train you up and to equip you for a next place that he has for you.
Thinking, it seems like culture is completely focused on us as individuals. It's only about our story.
It's true.
You know, and to get to see the bigger story. I mean, you address that as well in your powerful prayers. Give us maybe help us, you know, raise our eyes to see the bigger story. What does that look like?
I write a lot about that in this book because I think it's so huge. Because you're right, if the enemy can keep us thinking as individuals, we will, again, miss the bigger momentum, the bigger story. And maybe a good example was David facing down Goliath. Here he's a young boy, and all these soldiers are hiding in their tents, and David's ready to go face him. And Goliath is just spewing personal insults at David. David didn't acknowledge the personal insults. I mean, his response is basically, who's this Philistine that dares defy the armies of the living God, right? And I think we allow ourselves to get singled out by the enemy far too often. But I feel like if you would more embrace a kingdom big story perspective, then you would realize, hey, when he comes against me, he comes against us. And if I could have that for you too. So if the enemy is coming against you, wait a sec, he's coming against me too, and I'm shoulder to shoulder with you. But when we have the competition in the body of Christ, when we have this individualization, and it's all about me, we are missing the power of unity. And I think, you know, someone once said, and I quoted a lot, but 1,000 people are waiting on the other side of your obedience. So let's give you a practical example. Let's say you have a prodigal. Well, there are millions of prodigals. So what would happen if you rose up and said, Lord, I'm not only praying for my prodigal, I'm praying for every single prodigal out there. Bring them home, raise them up, make them evangelists. Pray for those parents who are brokenhearted. Lord, revive them, restore their marriages. Or maybe your marriage is hanging on by a thread, or your finances are hanging on by a thread, and you rise up in your Christ appointed authority and you start to pray on a bigger scale, do you think the enemy will think twice about messing with you? Because he'll be sorry he did if you suddenly are praying on a bigger scale. We have to see ourselves both as individuals, someone God loves uniquely, but as corporate, as a body of Christ. And my story plays into the bigger story. That's why I have to wrestle my own giants. I have to contend for my own promises, because other people are involved in my story.
Which maybe brings up the value of praying together with others.
I mean,
God designed us to be part of the body, but certainly in this area of prayer, there is power in corporate prayer.
Indeed, two or more are gathered, there I am. There is something so powerful, and we're changed when we pray together. There's something that happens too when you start to bring other people together with their unique stories, and you're coming together because you're shouldering one another's burdens, you're reminding each other who you are, and you're reminding yourself that you're made for community. We can't do this without each other.
Susie Larson's in studio today. I mean, she's in studio every day, but she's in studio on Connecting Faith today. We're honored to have her with us as we talk about your powerful prayers, reaching the heart of God with a bold and humble faith. And it just seemed like it's an appropriate topic anytime, but certainly here early on in the new year. Say, all right, how will I engage my faith more substantially and to seek God's face more consistently and experience momentum in my Christian walk because of that? We've got 6 copies of Susie's book to give away. We're doing it via drawing, and we're asking you just call and give us your contact information. Joe will take the calls at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. You can sign up for a copy of Your Powerful Prayers.
I want to throw in a DVD there as well.
Okay.
The DVD turned out so beautiful for someone who'll get a book and a DVD just in case they want to do a study. I'd just love to do that.
Well, this is a great opportunity for you not only study individually, but with your small group or your Sunday school or your church, you'll benefit from it. So sign up for that today, 877-93-FAITH. By the way, if you go online too, Susie will be, for those in the Twin Cities area, Susie's going to be a part of the Aspire Women's Conference coming up in April, the end of April, in Golden Valley at Calvary Church there. And we're giving away a pair of VIP tickets for that. And you can do that sign up. We'll keep that open on the Connecting Faith show page here for a day. Go to myfaithradio.com and then click on Connecting Faith. And we'll talk more with Susie Larson in just a moment.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed?
Probably need an amen there.
Come on, somebody. It's taking all my restraint not to just get up and shout. Ted, the songs today, thank you so much.
Hey, praise God. It's good stuff.
Wow.
Well, one of the quotes from your book, Your Powerful Prayers, says, nothing about this Christian life is easy or comes instinctively. I mean, we're really talking retraining here today, aren't we, for many
indeed
of us. I mean, we need, this is... Like, we're not going to get in shape. It took us years to get in the shape we're in. It's going to take us a while to get us. So we're retraining. We're building new habits, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's really what this is about. It's refocusing on the right thing.
Indeed. And, you know, I always say that it takes a while to mature. You can't mature overnight. But you don't have a mini Jesus in you if you're a brand new believer. You have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's just learning as we mature how to walk in it, how to trust more, as I say, in his promises than the problems that we face. And our working out our daily life and our daily grind, our humble need for other people, all of that is part. A world is watching how we're handling things. They're watching closely. And how we steward not only our blessings, our opportunities, but our trials matters deeply in the greater scheme of things.
And, you know, we take sometimes prayer so casually, and I just when you reflect on this quote, ask God to give you eyes to see with clarity so that your heart can pray with accuracy. I think, you know, we're probably all guilty of being sort of sloppy in our prayers. You know, Lord, bless the missionaries.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but their clarity and accuracy. Say more about that.
Well, a little side thing. I remember we were sitting in church just a few years ago. Our kids are grown now, and Kevin goes, "Foreign fields." I'm like, "What?" And he said, "That's what we were praying for as kids. I thought it was the foreign fields." It's like he always prayed it, but he just never knew. Yeah. All of a sudden, the light bulb goes on all these years later. Well, I hope that counted.
Sure.
But you know, when Jesus says he wants his worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. And truth, we know what truth is, but one of the descriptive words of truth is accuracy, that we would pray with accuracy, which means that we approach him with accuracy about our lives. And this is where I think the disconnect happens when you are not being truthful about what's going on in your life. So we worship him in spirit and truth, in the truth of God's word, but also in the truth of who we are. And that right there gives you a prayer list. And as you start to engage with God to say, you know what, I tend to lose my temper, or I tend to make it all about me, or I tend to show up late everywhere I go, not because I can't manage my schedule, but because I'm self-protecting. And when you let the Lord put his finger on those things and say, you know what, I want to redeem that. I want you to quit making such accommodations for your fears and your insecurities. I want to redeem that. Well, suddenly you have some very specific things to pray about, and you'll start to see specific answers, which makes you look outward and see people and their needs. And instead of praying kind of with a whitewash, broad stroke, you say, help that person. Help them in the way that they see themselves. Help this person in the way that they carry themselves. And I think as you start to do that, you develop a discernment about how things are versus how they seem. But unless you're willing to do this specific, detailed work within, you're not going to see what's going on all around you either. And I think God wants us to walk in a clarity and a discernment. But you start out with a little, and if you're faithful in the little, he gives you more. If you're faithful with the nuances he's showing you about your own life, then he will entrust you with the stuff that's really dear to his heart with what's going on around you. And Neil, I think too often, you know, we discern things in the spirit and we react to them in the flesh. Do you know what I'm saying? So you see something about someone, and then you have this casual judgment where God was giving you a front row seat to see something, hoping that you would handle it with his heart, that you would pray for them, that you would cover them, that you would love them. But we don't tend to do that instinctively unless we're already seeing our own need and bringing that before him with accuracy.
I was thinking, you know, that you know, to bring our own need with accuracy before the Lord. I mean, Hebrews 4 talks about that, right? God's word is what helps reveal the truth in our lives. I mean, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's dividing to the soul and marrow. But shortly after that, then we're reminded that we have a high priest who understands our weakness.
So
we can
much.
Come with confidence. What a great series that is, right? I mean, God knows everything about us, but so that's all right. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Come on with confidence.
I mean, if anybody could really gasp or gossip or roll their eyes or go, that ain't nothing, you know, look what I did. But he doesn't do that. And yet we measure other people's weaknesses by our strengths. And I'm just saying, I think we would get more humble in prayer if we humbled our powerful in prayer, if we humble ourselves before God and saw our need. Because you think about how often Jesus reacted to faith in the Gospels. He would always stop in his tracks for faith. Wow, I've not seen faith like that. Or wow, I haven't seen unbelief quite like that. Like faith was something to him. And so I think it's in the book of Luke, chapter 10, when the disciples come back and say, Lord, the demons obey us. You know, I thought for sure God or Jesus would respond, well, I told you this stuff worked, just have faith. But he didn't. He said, don't marvel that the demons obey you. Marvel that your name is written in the book of life. And I feel like if the wonder of what you get to do upstages what Jesus has done, you've already lost your way. So the miracle of our salvation should really take our breath away pretty much every day. But you lose sight of that if you're not accurate every day with your need for him. I mean, a lot of my guests say, I preach the gospel to myself every day. You know, you're saved by grace, but we're drifters. We forget. And nothing will keep you humble and grounded and even marveling in the gift of salvation, like not like, you know, pouring over your sins, but remembering your need. You know what I mean? And being accurate about your need. In the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. How that translates, I've learned, is blessed are those who know their need, for theirs is the kingdom. So when you're honest about your need, it keeps you humble, keeps you grounded, keeps you grateful, and then you're perfectly situated to handle the needs around you.
Yeah, and to be able to be, as we've talked throughout this hour as well, to be bold and to be confident that that God is a God who hears and answers
Indeed.
Prayer.
Yes, he did. And I think there'll be a moment, a flashing moment, when he comes and we will see that he is who he said he was, that there'll be that flickering thought, you mean I could have taken him at his word? You mean instead of worrying and fretting and fearing and posturing and grabbing solutions for myself, I could have radically engaged my faith for my marriage or my finances or my community or my city? So know that now and do that now.
You know, we got just a few minutes left. I want to just mention again for those in the Twin Cities area, if you want to drive a little ways, Susie's going to be speaking at the Aspire Women's Conference. Aspire conferences go on around the country, and one coming to the Twin Cities area Saturday, April 28th. And Susie will be one of the speakers there, as well as great music and just a lot of fun.
Yep.
So it'll be a great time. And we do have some tickets. We're giving away a pair of tickets for that. And you can sign up online, myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com, and click on the Connecting Faith show page. Let's take a couple minutes to talk about something else that I know you're passionate about. We are, as all of us here at Faith Radio, and excited because it's going to involve prayer. It's going to involve new habits and routines, and it's going to have a powerful impact. That's the Live Free Challenge.
Really excited about that. First of all, just so you know at the outset, the website's livefreechallenge.org, and we did this last year, partnered with International Justice Mission, one of our favorite, Kev's and I, our favorite organization, and Venture. And together we're asking you to borrow Venture's tagline, use your best energies for the world's greatest needs. And what we're doing here is logging as many miles as we can. You just set a goal for yourself for the month of February, how many miles you can bike, run, or walk. And again, you set your goal. If it's 10 miles to walk in the month, you know, of February, go to the mall, you can't fail at this. And you go to that website, and it takes a couple minutes to get your profile page, and you just share it with people saying, will you support me as I raise money to end human trafficking? And last year we raised $50,000. This year our prayer and goal is $63,000, which is equivalent to 10 rescue operations. And for IGM, their record rescue operation was 500 slaves that they delivered from a community of slavery. And there are women, children stuck in bonded slavery and sex trafficking. It's horrendous. But this is a way we can engage our faith, engage our physical health for a greater purpose. So we really do hope and pray you'll join us.
Yeah. Live Free Challenge. Go to livefreechallenge.org. Sign up today. And so throughout the month of February, then you'll be getting updates, encouragement on a regular basis there as you set your goals. And you just think about that statement. Use your best energies for the world's greatest needs. And that's what we've really been talking about today all day long, right? This is an opportunity for us to engage our faith. That's really what prayer is, and powerful prayer comes when we're willing to engage even more.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was Tozer who talked about it. A big view of God, you know, is answers everything, and a small view of God as a result is why we have so many problems that seem so big, you know. And I butchered his quote, but the truth of the matter is, put God in his rightful place. Engage. Consider your battles as an opportunity. It's a perfect opportunity. Find a promise of God with your name on it. Engage the heart of God as you know him. And when you come through, you'll be glad you trusted him. You'll have some history with him, and then you'll know you've got a future with them as well. I mean, this is a perfect opportunity today to engage your faith with whatever it is you're facing, and he's faithful.
Your powerful prayers, reaching the heart of God with a bold and humble faith. It is the book from Susie Larson we've been highlighting today. She's written a dozen or more, and she's on every afternoon, of course. Live the promise, and hope that you'll check it out today. And if I would have been smart, I would look to see who your guests were today. I think Liz Higgs is coming up today.
Yep,
I think
and
so.
Then, yep, and then second hour, talk to me Thursday. And you know what? We're going to ask the question. I'll give you a sneak preview.
Right.
We ask a question for conversation. What are some of your self-limiting beliefs?
Hmm.
And I have to think about that. It's kind of a gutsy question, but it is the no-fluff zone, so that's where we're
okay.
going.
Okay, all right. I'll just be listening and not calling. How about that? So, all right, Susie Larson, guest today. Bless you, Susie. Thanks so much for coming aboard. And again, we've got copies of her book to give away. We'll do that drawing shortly. And if you want to sign up for the tickets for the Aspire event in April, you can do that online, myfaithradio.com. Click on the Connecting Faith show page. Now, this is one of those conversations that I know you're going to listen to again. So we packed so much in this past hour. So you can do that. We post the interviews on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. So you listen to it and then pass it on to a friend and just encourage each other to experience the heart of God with a bold and humbled faith. I've been talking your powerful prayers with Susie Larson today on Connecting Faith. Tomorrow, letting go of broken identities. Joe Bender talks to ministry leader Joe Saxton right here on Faith Radio.